Hey, what's up, Toby? We made another week.
Nice. Hey, man.
I know. Let's process that. We're going to jump right in.
Let's do it.
Today's topic comes from operations and manufacturing, and it's specific around the Six Sigma, or the sigmas, or the number of failures within a milk records, which Six Sigma is what, three parts per million? Three defects?
Yeah. Well, it feels like all we ever talk about, if we talk about sigmas in the workplace, we tolerate nothing less than six. That's all we talk about. And I think part of it is we refer to that kind of work around error reduction as Six Sigma work or lean work. Yeah. So it's three parts per million. I think
correct.
When we talk about manufacturing, that makes sense, right?
If
we're rolling tires or ball bearings off the line, we don't want to be digging through those. I get that.
Yep.
But gosh, three errors per million transactions. Yeah.
So, all right. So what, one sigma? So one sigma is 30.9% accurate.
Right.
So that's 690,000 defects per million. So that's terrible. That is a 30% success rate, which is on par with probably most of the PowerPoints we've seen.
Yeah, so 31% defect rate, which means only 61% of them are defect-free.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, no, it's backwards. So like... among a million, there's only going to be 310,000 that are defect, that are free of defect. That's one sigma.
Mm.
Right.
Okay.
So that's, you know, so your good output, another way to say that, your good output on one sigma is 30.9%. Okay.
It's brutal.
Yeah. But I mean, again, for knowledge work, PowerPoints that I've seen.
It's a good example, though, right?
I mean, how many defects does a PowerPoint have?
And that's a really good rule. What are the consequences of a spelling error in a PowerPoint? Or what are the consequences? Hey, it could be an issue if it's an extra zero and you're talking about cost reduction or sales targets. Folks get antsy. If it's an indent, if it's a font error, effects are the same, right?
I would say that many defects are hidden by polished PowerPoints. Like, what would McKinsey be without a polished PowerPoint?
That's a frightening thought.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So one of the things about manufacturing is that to move up a sigma takes about the same effort, right? So, so from going from one sigma to two sigma is basically going from 30.9% good to 69.1% good. So just moving it up, just one standard deviation, basically.
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, still 70%. This is probably most knowledge work.
Yeah, if we think about that in the broadest sense, everything from communication to assorted manual tasks.
Yeah.
Anything where a system's not guiding our action.
Yep.
Yeah. That feels pretty reasonable.
Yeah. So if you think about one sigma, it's basically the process fails most of the time, or it's highly, highly inconsistent.
Yeah.
Right. Your PowerPoint presentation template changes multiple times a quarter, right? Like seconds, you know, two sigma, or, you know, it's 69% good output.
Yeah.
Still very poor, but errors occur frequently. Okay. Now let's move that just up one level, right? So to three sigma, it jumps from close to 70% good to 93.3% good.
Change. Yeah.
Literally, like
geometric,
like up to three, up to three sigma, it's kind of almost like a hockey stick, right? So again, it's, you know, from one sigma to two sigma, it's 39% better.
Mm.
From two sigma to three sigma, it is 23% better. And then the next jump from four sigma to five sigma, it's 93% to 99.38%. It's literally 7%. And then to five sigma, it jumps basically percentages like 0.04%. And these are literally the same amount of effort.
Right.
In manufacturing. And yet I don't think when we think of business processes and knowledge work, we don't actually think about it as changing the process to improve the output.
But it's about the consistency too.
Yes.
Right. And so when we do highly variable tasks, it's hard to get a sense of our actual consistency.
Correct.
So the did I deliver it on time is not really a sigma-ish kind of outcome, because it depends on the task.
Yep.
So
for sure.
I think that's, you know, as we're talking about this, I'm thinking about we've talked a lot about this, having done a lot of process improvement work
over
the years, you know, sometimes it's process improvement at one desk or sometimes it's an entire team. But it feels like so often everybody as the organization gets larger, the work niches down and people become increasingly specialized.
Yeah.
And so to be able to have, you know, to your point, the difference of shifting from high level of defects at one sigma to a marked reduction at two sigma, you know, in a large organization, you have to touch a lot of people.
Yeah.
And even as we're talking about this, it makes me think, this is why we start to see formal payroll systems being implemented or financial systems being upgraded and driving a lot of consistent behaviors just to reduce variability.
Yep.
But
totally true. And what's interesting is, like, I think oftentimes in knowledge work, we don't think of it as a process of delivery. We think of it as a task that we need to go. We think of it more of like doing the dishes or something. That was a terrible example. But we think of it as like, my boss wants me to do the thing.
Right.
And we don't think of it, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit where, so if the thing is repeatable, turn it into a process.
Totally. Yeah.
But it's funny. I've been watching the World Series and I'm going to deviate here from our topic here for a little bit, but Google Cloud has this commercial on baseball players that hit the base with their bat and how that leads to hard hits or something like that. Mm. And in my mind, I'm like, that's novel. I appreciate that. And it is absolutely, there's no action that you can take. And I find it fascinating that, like, a lot of knowledge work comes down to novelty, which means that you can basically hide all your defects in the corner, because as long as it's novel and it follows some sort of, you know, the cognitive bias of the person with the highest salary in the room, then it's okay.
Right. Yeah. Processes don't have personalities to soften the message or build relationships the same way that people do.
Yeah. But I just think sometimes we just don't think about it as something that even can be fixed.
Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, and sometimes it's the person that needs to fix it is the manager. And if you're an IC, then it's not yours to fix.
Well, Chris, it kind of makes me ask the question, like, is it even reasonable to talk about professional interactions in this same concept of like error-free transactions? You know, manufacturing is a highly repeatable, super linear process generally.
Yeah.
And if it's not super linear, then we invest a lot of time understanding all the permutations that it could go down.
Yeah, I think this is where it falls into, like, do your systems support or do they complicate? And, like, does your system, like, because I would say that there are some times in which a one sigma rate is okay.
Yeah.
And I would say that there are other times where, you know, it needs to be in the highly accurate, highly consistent outcome, right? And I think sometimes those two get flopped. Right. And I think some of it is about the novelty. Like, and I trash on data a lot, not because I don't like data, but because data seems to be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
And so I do think that when it comes to consistent things that we do, we should aim to make them better.
Yeah.
And not aim to make them more novel.
Ooh. It's interesting. So novelty is a source of defects. And so that also makes me think of the failure rate that we have around innovation. And that's unfortunately become kind of this catch-all buzzword for I have a new approach that I'm testing to. I'm just sloppy and I'm wildly inconsistent. So I'm innovating, you know.
Well, it is interesting because your upstream and your downstream has to all match, right? In a manufacturing, because you've got work in progress, you've got stuff moving through the line.
Totally.
Knowledge work oftentimes ends up being one person doing one thing.
Yeah.
Right. And the transferability of that knowledge isn't necessarily taken into consideration.
Yeah.
I saw a funny meme on, you know, someone doing math of 16 minus 9 as a McKinsey consultant. And they're like, oh, you can obviously just see that this is a sum of squares. And so if you turn that into 3 squared and 4 squared, and then you multiply it all out and they go, you know, they do 4 or 5 steps and they get to 16 minus 9. And you're like, still 7.
And there we are.
And we made it to 7.
No, it's true. Well, and the transfer of moving pieces and parts versus moving information, it's easier to know if all the pieces have been moved from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Whereas it's hard to know if all the information has been translated from person A to person B.
We are terrible at that as human beings.
It's hard to know, isn't it?
Because you don't check. Because we assume that everybody thinks the exact same way that we do, or does an action the same way. Like, if you ever demo anything, like in a scrum, you will be like, what in the world is that person doing? Don't they see the button to the left? And then you're like, oh, that was a semi-clever way of doing it that I would have never thought of or figured it out.
Chris, I think that's so true. Shadowing somebody to watch how they navigate a familiar application is fascinating and painful.
Yeah.
Because you're right. We can't navigate the same way.
Yeah. I built a UI. I was really happy to build some stuff in there that stuff just never got used because it just was unusable.
Yeah.
Like for me, not doing the day-to-day work, like it was what I thought would work.
Yeah.
But that ended up being, you know, kind of one of these knowledge deviations because I didn't know the work that was being done. And so it, you know, I didn't build it in the right way. And the reality is it's like, what's funny, like the other funny thing is oftentimes it's like, it's not in the outcome in which it's, like we become fascinated with being distraction. I kind of stopped there a little bit, but like we're fascinated with the distraction and not the actual process or outcome. And so it's like, hey, if we, you know, did we sell the deal? Yeah, we did. Let's go celebrate. Did we sell the right deal? Did we sell it to the right client? Does it align with what we're trying to, where we're going?
Yeah.
Like those are all really important. And I think, you know, that's one of the deviation of saying yes to everything is a bad one.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I think as we're talking this through, the piece that I take away is that A, being nervous when somebody comes to Six Sigma, your professional services approach and your college work.
Yep.
And the piece you just touched on really resonates with me, and it's that we have to step back and ask the bigger picture question.
Where?
Because sometimes a highly defective exchange can still move the mission forward, that can still achieve our outcomes, even if the PowerPoint is error-ridden and has, you know, all kinds of font mismatches.
Yeah.
So
the other funny thing is you probably hear snoring in the back. That's my bulldog. Just crashed out. Not helpful for a podcast, but having a grand old time, just snoring away.
I thought that was your stomach. I thought better that it's a bulldog, sir.
That's awesome. Well, we made it again, man.
All right. Good stuff.
All right.
Catch you next week.
All right.
See ya.